Amen. Thank you, ladies. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. I love it. I love it. Let's stand together this morning and let's take our Bibles. Please go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. We're going to read verse 24 down through verse number 28 this morning. And I think I put it right in the bulletin. Sometimes I change the title. Yeah. The Sickness of Stinginess. How's that for a title, huh? I felt like I was pretty safe, preaching a sermon about stinginess after such a good giving year. Huh? I thought to myself, I'll probably not offend anybody today. Then I started going down through the message won't be my aim necessarily, but money is very near and dear to everyone's heart, isn't it? And sometimes it can get in between us and the Lord. And Solomon was concerned about that, and he certainly wanted to address that issue with his son, with his servants, and with his subjects. And so we get to glean from that this morning. Look at it, verse number 24 in Proverbs 11. Solomon writes and says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." Let's pray together this morning. We'll get right into the preaching. Lord, we love you, and again, we thank you so much for your word. We ask, Lord, your blessing on it today. I pray, Father, you'd help me as I communicate this important passage to us. God, that you'd help us to receive it, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. More than likely, it's true that when I say the word stingy, there may be a person or a character or something like that that comes to mind. And often it is, isn't it, when we think of the personification of stinginess, I think that many of us would think of Charles Dickens' character in A Christmas Carol, none other than good old Ebenezer Scrooge. Isn't it true even today that someone who's a little bit tight-fisted with the money and someone who's a little bit reluctant to give it away, whether it's a wife to a husband or a husband to a wife or kids to parents or parents to kids, sometimes the mentality is, "You old Scrooge." He is described in the book, and it's interesting, in the book he is described by Dickens as a tight-fisted, clutching old sinner, hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck a generous fire. Old Scrooge, what a description that was. Hard and sharp as flint, but no steel had ever struck a generous fire from Scrooge. It's interesting that it is thought that the character for Ebenezer Scrooge is actually taken from someone that was alive and well during Dickens' lifetime. He was a member of Parliament known as John Elwes. Now, John Elwes was born as Jonathan Meggett, but as a 20-year-old man, he changed his name to that of his uncle's name on his mother's side. He changed his name to that of his uncle's name in hope of inheriting his estate that was worth at that time, around the early 1800s. At that time, the estate was worth $23 million. And I don't have to tell you, that would be a lot of money. That'd be a lot of money today, but it'd be even more so during that day. Now, what's interesting is that Elwes actually, as a 4-year-old child, inherited his father's estate. His mother died during his infancy, and his father died when he was very young, and his estate was worth $8 million. And so it's not like Mr. Elwes was a poor, poor man. He was very wealthy, but he was also historically very, very stingy. As a matter of fact, he was a known man. He ran for Parliament, and he was a parliamentarian for 12 years. And just as an example of his stinginess, after that 12th year, he decided he wasn't going to run anymore because he didn't want to pay the $2 to print the papers for people to pass out in hopes of re-election. Now, that's a stingy man right there. Very tight. You know, as parents, sometimes it is, isn't it true, that you notice the spending tendencies of your children very young, don't you? You have that kid, no doubt, or you had that kid, or maybe you are that kid right now, that if you get the quarter, well, back in the day, it used to be a quarter, didn't it, Brother James? Now it might be like a $1.50 or something like that. You know that kid that when they get a dollar in their hand, they got to spend it right then and there. They're waiting to go to Walmart or any place or Dollar General or something like that so they can get something out of that dollar if it's a piece of gum or whatever the case may be. I can remember when I was a kid, it was Topps baseball cards and it was Holdings Food Store. And if I got any amount of money, I'd get on my bike and I'd ride about the mile down to Holdings Food Store and I'd buy a pack of Topps baseball cards, not for all of the baseball people, mind you, but for that stinky old stale gum. No telling how many cards I threw away or gave away just to get that one little old stick of gum. You know, we notice the spending tendencies of our children, and sometimes it is that a kid is rather tight-fisted, isn't it? Aren't they? They get that money, and they've got a little piggy bank, or they've got a sock, and they stick it back there in the corner of their drawer. We notice those spending tendencies, perhaps, of our kids at a young age, and no doubt it would be true for Solomon as well, as he perhaps looks at Rehoboam, and he notices some tendencies in his life as a child, and no doubt as he looks at his other sons, other children, he notices the tendencies in their lives. And you realize, of course, that when Solomon is writing the book of Proverbs, that Rehoboam is about to, he is about to gain a kingdom that is worth, in their estimation as well as in our estimation, is worth billions. He is about to turn that over to this son, so obviously, as a compassionate parent, but also as a king with some good sense to him, he is concerned about how he's going to spend, what kind of a financial person is my son going to be. We know, of course, it is true from the Bible that not just Rehoboam inherited that kingdom, but the other sons inherited much as well, and he would want them to be good stewards with what they had. But we know as well that these people that Solomon is writing to, they existed in a very financially secure kingdom. It wasn't rough times during Solomon's reign, was it? I mean, if we understand the Bible right, silver was as nothing during Solomon's day. Gold was prolific there. It was a very economically secure environment. And the people in which Solomon is writing to in his kingdom, they were economically superior to other nations. We could say it like this, that when Solomon is writing these people, there had not been a people that had been so God-blessed with finances ever to that point. That's who he's writing to, and of course he is concerned that not just Rehoboam is wise, biblically wise with his finances, not just that these sons of mine or these servants of mine are biblically wise with their finances, but I'm concerned that all of my subjects, because they exist in a God-blessed land, that they are biblically wise with their finances. Well, I don't have to spend a long time, do I, to tell us, to help us to understand that as bad as sometimes things we think are in America, and sometimes we think they're pretty bad, don't we? But if you've ever gone to another country and lived just for a little bit while you come running back home, can I get an amen? And that is because we do have a God-blessed country. And if you're an American here this morning, or you live here in this country, you can honestly say that there may be hard times, there may be difficulties that we encounter, and many oftentimes they are self-made ditches that we dig for ourselves. We live in a country that God has blessed, and God has blessed each and every one of our families more so than most people upon the face of this earth can even imagine. We live in a God-blessed country. So listen, Solomon is concerned that not just sons and subjects and servants are wise with their finances, but we have to understand as well that God is concerned that we are wise with our finances. Now, the Bible talks about, the two words really that we're going to use this morning to kind of draw the contrast are generous and stingy. Now, generous is defined as a readiness to give. Generosity is to give more than what is required, And generosity is a desire to give as well. All right, so let me say those three things again. Generosity is a readiness to give. That is generosity. It is also giving more than what is required. That is generosity. And then it also has that heart aspect to it. That desire to give is also termed generosity as well. Now, stinginess is the exact opposite of that. Stinginess is defined as unwillingness to give or unwillingness to spend. It is, by definition, ungenerosity, a reluctance, so to speak, to give or to spend. Now, please understand here this morning that stinginess is not frugality. All right? Stinginess is not being careful with our finances. That's not stinginess. Stinginess is an unwillingness to give to a right and a good, and in our case, a biblical cause. That's what stinginess is. It is not frugality. It is not carefulness. It is not even discernment. All of those things should be applied to finances and spending. Stinginess is none of those things. It is a sinful sickness that affects people in the giving of their time and the giving of their talent and the giving of their treasures to the Lord. A sinful sickness of stinginess. Notice in our Bible as we begin that we should understand as these understand that God Himself is not characterized by stinginess. God is not characterized by stinginess, is He? Now, these people living in that time, they would understand that because they are blessed people. It would be something I would hope, just like you would hope, that is on the forefront of their minds. They live in a blessed country, and even though different situations may happen, for the most part during Solomon's reign, I mean, his name means peace, come on now. So there, it is a peaceful environment in which they live. In other words, they are not being attacked. They're not being warred upon. No doubt that they have difficulties going on in their country and in the individual lives, no doubt, during that time. But in general, they can say we live at a peace and a very prosperous time. And that peace and that prosperity has come through the benevolent hand of an almighty God. And so they themselves would have to admit that God is not characterized by stinginess. God is not tight-fisted, is He? God is not unwilling to give. And since God is not characterized by stinginess, neither should His children be characterized by stinginess. You know, the Bible says that God is the great giver. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of health. He is the giver of salvation. He is the giver of ability. God is the giver of wisdom. God is characterized by giving. You know, of course, it is true in Ezekiel chapter number 16. I've told you this before when we're going through our minor prophet series on Sunday night, that in Ezekiel 16 that the nation of Israel is typified by the writer Ezekiel as a baby that has just been born and left on its own out in the middle of a desert. Now, what a terrible situation that would be, but that's yet what Ezekiel uses to describe the nation of Israel. And God comes by and He sees that bloody baby there laying on the ground that pictures the nation of Israel. And in verse number 6, the Bible records Ezekiel saying that God, in type mode, says to that nation one word. You know what that word is, don't you? It is the word live. And then He spells it out how that God took that poor nation, that simple nation, that very vulnerable nation, and God made something great out of it. And can I say to you, even to this very day, in the day in which we live, the nation of Israel is a great nation, not necessarily because of Israeli exceptionalism, but it's because there is an almighty God that still watches over that nation. And God had said to them, live, and sure enough, they did live. You know, when we think about God's relationship to the nation of Israel, God gave the people the land, didn't He? Now, they went in and conquered it, but you know that if God had not been with them, that never would have been possible. It was God that gave the command even to go in and conquer the land. God gave the people the land. God gave the land fruitfulness. God gave the people deliverance. God gave the people guidance. God according to Acts chapter number 17, verse number 25, God gives to all life and breath and all things. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 17 says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 18 says that God gives us power to gain wealth. It's not by our own might and it's not by our own intellect. If there were not a heavenly Father, if there was not a benevolent God, we wouldn't have the ability to earn one red cent, is what the Bible says. God gives all of that ability. I'm thankful as well. James chapter 1 and verse number 5 says that God gives wisdom too, doesn't He? If you'll ask Him, He'll give it to you. He'll give as much as you can take, God will. And God, I'm thankful as well in James 4 and verse number 6 that the Bible says that God gives grace as well. And we certainly need that grace as well, don't we? But I'm most thankful, as I think you are, that John 3:16 tells us that God gave the most wonderful gift that He ever could give, and that is, of course, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinful people, for all of the world, so that they could have a way that they could be saved. God gave His only begotten Son. I'm telling you that God is not characterized by stinginess. I love the song the girls sang this morning. It makes me think of another song by Annie Johnson Flint. If you know anything about Annie Johnson Flint, the hymn writer, she was a young woman who lived her life in constant, enduring pain. Annie Johnson Flint. One of her most famous hymns is the hymn called "He Giveth More Grace." She lived her life in constant pain, and yet she wrote a hymn that said, "He giveth more grace." And here's the ending part of that song. "For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." I'm just telling you, my friends, we ought to never forget that it is the character and it is the nature of the God of this Bible not to be some old meanie that sits up there in heaven and throws down lightning bolts like all of them liberal good-for-nothings. We'll tell you, but it is the character and it is the nature of the God of this Bible to be a giver. God is a giver. God's not stingy. God's not stingy one lick. Not one lick at all. And listen to me. It is the overall a theme, so to speak. It is the overall focus that Solomon is trying to communicate to his people. Listen, if God is not stingy, you ought not to be either. God is very benevolent. You ought to be also. If God is not characterized by stinginess, neither should His children. Listen to me. We shouldn't be stingy with our love. Jesus said we ought to love our enemies in Matthew chapter number 5, and He said in John chapter number 13 that if we're truly a believer, then we'll love those that are believers as well. That is how all men will know that you are My disciples. You won't be stingy with your love. You will be benevolent with your love. We ought not to be stingy with our prayers. We ought not to be stingy with our service. And we ought not to be stingy with the gospel. And we ought not to be stingy with our finances either. God's not characterized by stinginess. There's no good reason for us to be characterized by stinginess. Can I get an amen? That's not even most of the message. That's just the introduction, okay? Notice what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 24 through verse number 26. First of all, Solomon kind of sets the foundation. We know that God is not characterized by stinginess. And then he just uses a simple principle that's reiterated throughout the Bible. And it is the principle of sowing and reaping. And he just communicates to these people, to those people that he's concerned about. Listen, giving really can be viewed just by this philosophy, a philosophy of sowing and reaping. If you sow, you will reap. And so be careful about what you sow because you will reap it. And if you sow benevolence, then you will reap benevolence. And if you sow wickedness or stinginess, well, then you really know what to expect, don't you? And so Solomon sets that theme, so to speak, in verse 24 down through verse number 26. Notice to look at it in verse number 24 that the generous people are seen as generous people are seen as sowers, and stingy people are seen as hoarders. as hoarders. Look at it, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Of course, the imagery is of that person, of that farmer back in Solomon's day, reach his hand into the bag and he would sow his seed. And even during Jesus' day, we see that parable that Jesus told in Matthew 13 as well as other places, the parable of the sower. It is that imagery, isn't it, of that farmer sowing the seed. And I mean, it just makes good sense to good people like you and I that if you want to reap, then you got to do some sowing, don't you? Now, every once in a while, you get some volunteer. Brother Ben was telling me about this week of volunteer tomatoes, and every once in a while, that grows up, and thank God for the birds that do that. Amen? But more often than not is you've got to sow that seed to be able to get something back. And so that is the picture before us, that sowing and that reaping. He says in verse number 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. He's scattering the seed there, and he's careful. We know from Matthew 13, though, that they're not overly careful because some of that seed falls into the wayside. Some of that seed falls into the rocky ground. Some of that seed falls into that thorny ground as well. And yet some of that seed, much of that seed, hopefully most of that seed would fall onto that good ground that would bring forth that fruit. The sower sows so that he can gain. He sows in expectation. Listen to me. He sows in faith, and it's not wrong for a Christian to sow in faith. And I'm not talking about seed. I'm not talking about your garden. I'm talking about giving. I'm talking about being generous to the Lord with your time and your talents and your treasure. It's not wrong for us to sow with some faith, with some expectation. Now, I don't by any means mean this morning. Now, I put in my offering. I think I did. Yeah, I did. I put in my offering this morning, and I here was not my mentality as I put my offering into the plate. Ooh, I can't wait to see what God's going to give me. I'm not a TV preacher, okay? I can't wait. Thank you, Brother Darrell. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I expect to walk out the doors here after church is done and see a Cadillac pickup. I don't know if Cadillac makes a pickup or not. It probably wouldn't be worth driving. But at any rate, that's not what I'm talking about. Not that kind of an expectation. That's more like holding God by the throat and saying, here's what you better do. But listen, all of the giving that we ought to do ought to be by faith. There ought to be some level of expectation. We don't know how God's going to bless, but listen to me. He is going to bless, and we need to have that faith. And this person who sows, that farmer that sows, that one that scatters, he is going to increase. He sows in faith, and he knows that he is going to reap. But then notice verse number 24. The other farmer, that one that is the stingy farmer, he is the one that withholdeth. Notice what the Bible says, he withholdeth more than his meat. Now, it's true in every farmer in Solomon's day as well as in Jesus' day and even to this day. They don't sow all of their seed. They keep some back because that's just intelligent, isn't it? In case the crop should fail or something like that, or weather in Oklahoma sometimes is a factor, you know, very rare occasions, but every once in a while weather is a factor in Oklahoma, isn't it? And so they keep some of it back there so that they can perhaps sow again or sow a later crop. But this person here is just plain stingy with the seed. They withhold back more than is meat, more than is acceptable. So it's like this. Listen, the one person has the bag full of seed and he's throwing it out there. And he's throwing it out there in hope and in expectation that God is going to bless. And he has a real natural desire for God to bless him. And then there's the other farmer over there who's got his hand in the bag, but that's about as far as it goes. And he's over here maybe getting a pinch full of seed and if any falls off, scooting it back over with my foot, cover it up. I'm just going to sow a little bit and see how that goes. Well, here's the picture, my friend. That, my friends, is generous. It is the picture of someone during Solomon's day, during Jesus' day, even during this day in which we live. It is someone who, not to every cause out there, that's ridiculous. There's a particular field in which the farmer sows, amen? Brother Williams, if he owns a field and I own a field right next to it, I'm not going to go sow my seed in his field. And he's not going to come over to my field and sow. So there's a particular area in which we're sowing there. We're not talking about just giving money to any cause that's out there, but primarily it would be the discretion of giving it to the Lord through his local church, by the way, as well. All right? So I'm giving to that, and there is hope, and there is desire, and this person has a genuine heartfelt desire that he is going to reap that. And this person over here is pinching and pinching and throwing and throwing, and yet hoping that he reaps just like that person is. And I'm telling you, that's going to be one discouraged, one disappointed, one disheartened Christian. Well, I gave. God didn't bless me. Can I just help us understand why? Because you're stingy. You don't give with the right heart. I'm not sure I understand that, Pastor. Because when you give with a stingy heart, and when you give not in genuine faith, well, don't expect God to bless. That's not hard to figure out, is it? I know none of you dear godly people have ever been there, but I've certainly been there before. When I've put my... after I've squeezed all the life out of it, paid every other bill, and my Netflix, and my this, that, and the other, and then give God the... or I'm going to give thee the offering. I'm going to give God whatever's left. God didn't bless. You're going to be waiting a long time is all I'm saying. Okay? Because it is given with a stingy heart. And Solomon just simply says, son, please understand, you've seen these farmers out there throwing out their seed. It's just as simple as this, that if you want to reap, if you want God to bless, then you need to be a blesser. You need to be generous. If you want God to be generous to you and as a king in your kingdom, if you want God's blessing in finances, if you want God's blessing in peace, if you want God's blessing in your life and in your family, listen, you better be a blesser. Because when you get stingy, God will get stingy with you, and that's not where you want to go, son. Notice he reiterates that. Look at it. This is my life verse. I think I'm going to make this my life verse, Brother Chris. Verse number 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. It's already becoming my life verse whether I want to or not. It's the only time in the Bible I ever want to be called a liberal. Amen. Lord have mercy. I don't even like saying that in church. I'm afraid my mother-in-law is going to wash my mouth out with soap. Liberal just means the blessing soul. Some of them liberals need to get a hold of that, don't they? It means the blessing soul shall be made fat, or the blessing soul shall be blessed. It's just a reiteration. You know, of course, it is a Hebrew device there that they would use, that when they want to really emphasize something, they repeat it over and over and over, somewhat like a Baptist preacher. And that's what he's doing here in verse number 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The blessing soul shall be blessed. And then he repeats it in verse 25. And the one that waters is the one that is going to get watered as well. In other words, son, if you're going to be on either side here, you want to be over here on this side. You want to be that generous soul so that God will be generous to you. He reiterates it, and then he does it again. Look at it, verse number 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. So there's a legitimate, genuine need there, and here's a person who can meet that need, and yet they're withholding the corn. Yes, I can give to that. Yes, I can. And we understand, of course, that they're being discerning, that there's always needs that are present in all of people's lives. But here's a legitimate need, a genuine need, and some needs that exist out there are not legitimate and they are not genuine. But here's a genuine and a legitimate need, and I can meet that need, but I just ain't going to. Well, that ain't nothing but stingy. I know it's not good English, Miss Rachel, but she's cool with it. She's okay with it. At least for me, because I'm not her student. She's just plain stingy. There's a legitimate, genuine need. Well, I don't see it that way. Well, do others see it that way? Do other people maybe in authority or leadership see it that way? Well, yeah. Why don't you see it that way? Could be that you're not just stingy with your money, but you're stingy with your attitude too. Could be. It just could be. I'm just kind of guessing at that. And I would think probably if you have a stingy heart, that is going to affect your pocketbook there. So that is going on. There's a legitimate need, and they just simply won't meet it. Look at it, verse 26. But blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. All right? Here's again that person who he recognizes the legitimate need. And so he opens up the barn door, so to speak. And hey, you can come get what you want. You're going to pay for it. We're not just giving it away now. You see that, don't you? You're going to sell it. A little bit of capitalism there for you. It's in the Bible. All right? So we're going to sell it there. We're going to make a profit maybe off of that, but we are going to meet a legitimate need. Again, it is that idea of generosity there. And Solomon just in three verses says to them, listen, son, listen to these subjects, listen to your servants. You want to be on this side. You don't want to be that stingy person that is not blessed by God and that withholds when there is a legitimate need that is present there. Son, you want to be that generous person that God blesses and that meets the needs of people. Don't be stingy, son. Be generous. And then notice what he does. Look in the next verse there. Verse number 27. Solomon communicates to them this principle. All right, so he said sowing and reaping, communicating that. You want to reap generosity from God. Well, then be generous. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your talent. Be generous with your treasures, how we could apply that. Now, primarily, he's talking perhaps about money, but it's true in all of the realms, isn't it? Now, listen, we can meet needs a lot more ways than just throwing money at it. Am I right about that? We can meet needs with many, many more ways. Time, talents, treasures. I'm so grateful for these young girls to get up here and sing. Now, I don't know, but maybe they could probably, you know, they could go on. Do they still do American Idol? Or something like that? You know, I saw something the other day where it's like they sing and they've got a big mask on or something like that. Anyway, all kind of talent competitions out there. But I'm thankful that they give their talents to the Lord. You'll never regret it. Am I right about that? You'll never regret that. And you very well may regret doing the other. I guarantee that that's the case. Listen, not just time, but it's talents, but it is also treasure. There's no good reason. Listen, there is no good reason for a member of Bible Baptist Church to be stingy. Absolutely no good reason. No good reason. I'm just saying to you tonight or this morning, if you're right with the Lord, you're not going to be stingy. I just, you know, sometimes Miss Dawn, when the preacher's preaching, I can't understand what he's saying. Then you're not listening very good. There's no good reason to be stingy. God's not been stingy to us. And then notice secondly what he does. Look at it, verse 27. He's encouraging his son with this in verse 27. Look for ways to be a blessing. Don't look for ways to burden people. Look at it, verse 27. Here's a good philosophy of life as a king, as a subject, as a servant. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Notice the energy in that. You see that? He that diligently seeketh good. You know, that's not just a surface issue, but it's someone who investigates a little bit. They dig a little bit deeper and they see that there is a need, even though that person may not openly say there is a need, because they are diligently seeking to do good to others is the idea there. They dig through some of the weeds, so to speak, and they see that there is a need that needs to be met, and I'm going to meet that need. Well, that one procures favor to themselves. It may mean, it seems like it means in verse number 27 that they will reap what they sow, maybe from mankind, but because God is ordaining this, we have to understand this as well, that person that diligently seeks to do good, in some way, they want to meet that need, whether it's through their time, their talent, their treasure. They want to minister to that legitimate need. Then they will procure favor unto themselves, maybe from that person, but primarily from God. All right? So he again reiterates it. Be that person, son. It may not be on the surface. It may not be something that you hear through the grapevine. It may be something that you have to investigate a little bit about to meet that legitimate need. I couldn't help but remember, or be reminded, I should say, as I looked at this verse even this morning, I couldn't help but be reminded of what Miss Rena said about Miss Brittany during the ordination. And she said about Miss Brittany, you know, you have to be careful what you say around her. Not like some of you are thinking, but you have to be careful about what you say about her. She asked, how you're doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good, you know. I got a hole in my shoe. If you say something like that around Miss Brittany, you'll come back to church that night and have a new pair of shoes. Right? Now, don't go up to her and tell her about all your shoes, okay? But you get what I'm saying? That's the kind of person that they just want to meet a need. I think Miss Rena's like that as well. As a matter of fact, many of the people of Bible Baptist Church, you really have to be careful what you're saying around them. You know, now, I've tried it before, you know. Boy, I sure wish I had a, you know, all of Toyota Tundra. I think I've said that to everybody in church. Nobody's even given me a matchbox, all right? But you have to be, listen, that is a good way to be. Because he that diligently seeketh good. Listen, there may be needs in our congregation. There may be needs on your block, even, that aren't on the surface there. But you've got to dig a little bit deeper there. You've got to do a little bit more. You've got to diligently seek their good. And they may never repay you. They may never even say thank you to you. But God certainly will. You will procure a favor to yourself. And then notice what he said in verse 27. The opposite of that is, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. In other words, instead of doing good with your time, talent, treasure, you do bad with your time, talent, treasure. You seek to hurt instead of to help. And Solomon says, listen, because a king can fall into that, can't they? You can hurt people. By those same sort of actions, you can seek to hurt those people. And listen, you're going to reap that as well. So you be careful what you do with that. You diligently seek to be a blessing to them. Don't ever seek their hurt. I'm reminded of what Paul told Titus, what Paul told Timothy about being greedy of filthy lucre. You remember what I said about that? That sometimes there are that we, are much like the Pharisees even, whenever Jesus talked to them in Matthew 6. And you know what the Pharisees did with their giving? I remember the sermon I preached on when I first became pastor here a long time ago. I said it like this, Brother Williams, that Pharisees bought by their giving. In other words, they were giving and trying to buy people. I know that's a foreign thought to many of us, but it is true. It happens out there in the world, and sometimes it even happens in churches. That is giving with the expectation of wickedness there that Solomon is saying. He's saying, son, never use your money for that. Never use your money for that because that will come back. Listen to me. That'll come back on you. That'll bite you. That'll get you. Can I say to you, I've seen that in my lifetime. I've seen that since I've been your pastor. People with that kind of a mentality, and it comes back on them. It bites them, and it's not a pretty picture. Don't let that be you. And then notice the last principle. So he says to them in verse 27, listen, look for ways to be a blessing. Don't seek to burden other people. And then I like how he rounds it out in verse number 28. Look at it. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. You know what he's cautioning them against? This son who's going to inherit a $1 billion kingdom or more. As he's talking about finances, he's talking about being generous. He also throws this in, son. Here's the thing about finances. Don't ever fix your gaze on them. Don't ever begin to trust in them. Don't ever begin to give them more credence than what they deserve. You know, it is often true, isn't it, in people's lives? It's true in the nation of Israel, wasn't it? That God blessed them abundantly. And over and over and over and over in the Old Testament, God would say to them, don't forget who gave it to you. Now, he'd say more than that, but that's basically what it amounted to. Don't forget who gave it to you. Don't forget that it was that you came in and you inherited a land and you inherited crops and you inherited all of those things that I gave you. Don't forget that I gave it to you. He said that to them over and over and over. And you know why he had to say it over and over and over? Because he knew that people might begin to think that I did it myself. They begin to sing the song like Frank Sinatra did. I did it my way, or I did it for me. Or however he sang it. You know, that's sometimes what we think, isn't it? We begin to look at ourselves and we begin to think that we did it. It's our power. It's our ability. It's our, me, and mine. And I can just imagine, listen, we can do that with a $500 check from the boss, can't we? I can just imagine what it would be like to inherit a $5 billion kingdom when you're a young man. You've got all of that riches. And you don't mind telling everyone about all of those riches, much like Nebuchadnezzar did. And in one night, God took it from him just like that. So Solomon says, listen, don't ever fix your gaze on that money. Because it might not always be there. Don't begin to trust in those riches. You always keep your trust. You always keep your heart on the Lord. You will fall, but look at it, verse 28. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. You know what I so appreciate about Brother Sederston, about Brother Don, about those that have served the Lord for a good number of years? they still have a sweet heart. They still have a good heart. You know, sometimes it is people have been serving the Lord. You know, even in serving God, bad things can happen and you can allow a bitterness into your heart. Listen, oftentimes it is. Listen, I think every time it is, Miss Dottie, you can become bitter. You don't even know it. You know, it's kind of like this, you know. You're bitter and think every problem, you know, everybody else got the problem. Isn't that right? You're bitter, but you think everybody else got the problem. I'm so thankful that as they have grown in the Lord and as they have served the Lord, everybody with me here, as they have served the Lord, that it seems like their hearts get sweeter. You know what I appreciate about Brother Don? He comes in, you know what the first thing he does is, all right, now I'm doing some preaching right now in case you don't know it. First thing he does is get out the bulletin. Okay, class? I put my heart and soul into this every week or something like that. He gets out the bulletin and he finds out where I'm preaching at. You know what he does? He opens his Bible and he starts reading down through that. Listen, I ought to preach in a way to where when Brother Don reads the passage or when you read the passage that you get the same thing that I got, because it's not a private interpretation. God said it for all of us, didn't he? It's right there. He gets out and he reads. You know what that tells me? That as he grows in the Lord, his heart is getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It's much like Solomon said here in verse 28. Son, you want to be the kind of person that you flourish. You just get better and better and better. And when you fix your eyes on finances, it won't be that way. You will fall. But I think if you keep your eyes on the one who blessed, that generous God who is a giver, you keep your eyes on him, you can just get better and better and better. Listen to me. That's something God wants for each and every one of us. God doesn't want stingy people. He hasn't been stingy with his grace. He hasn't been stingy with salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen to me. You can be saved. God's not holding it back. If you're not saved yet, it's not God's fault. God's not holding it back. God has offered it to all. If you'll simply turn from your sin, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. He's not stingy with that. He's not stingy with his grace. I think Miss Pam's here this morning. She'd be a testimony to the fact that God's been very gracious to her and her family. This Brother Philip's been in the hospital for a long time now. God's been very gracious to them, to him and to their family. Listen to me. God is a giver. God is generous. That's what he expects from his people as well. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you so much for your word. We have invitation, God. We ask that you would deal in our hearts. Lord, we're thankful for a good missions year this year. And yet, Lord, you speak to our hearts about generosity. Help us, Lord, not to be the people that sit back and say, well, look what we've done. God, we've gone out of our way to mention that it's God who does it, that it's you who does it through us, Father, and we're thankful for that. And I pray, God, that still as of yet, you'd speak to hearts. Lord, I know that not everyone gives like they should. Maybe we don't give with the heart that we should. God, maybe it is that even in people who have been good givers, Lord, there is that element of stinginess that creeps in. I pray, God, that you'd help us through a message such as this to have the faith to push it out, Lord. We ask, God, that you deal in hearts. Maybe it is this morning, God, that someone's here. They're not saved. The Spirit of God is tugging on them, pulling them, drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ through the preached word. I pray, God, that they would recognize that you love them, that you want to save them, God, that you want to bless their life, God, that you want to work in their life, Lord. I pray, God, this morning they'd humble their heart, receive Christ as their Savior. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's